above all else, will adore his name, magnify him forevermore. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 2 today. How many of you love your church family? How many are still thinking about it? Well, I love my church family. I don't know about you. And by the way, we are a family. We love and care for one another. This church has been through a lot recently. Have y'all noticed that? My phone has been ringing and dinging off the hook the last really couple weeks, or maybe 3 weeks. I think it started with Amarie getting hit by a car. Where are you, Amarie? There you are, buddy. I'm just glad he's here. That could have been tragic. And he's here, happy. I hugged his neck this morning. But it started then, and then, a little earlier than that, a few of our members heard the word cancer. Tammy Light, Amy Lovejoy, Tim Wyatt. Willow was found. Can I hear an amen right there? Hallelujah. Jim Wisman fractured his back from a fall. He's at home today recovering. Linda, it's good to see you. Hazel Nichols putting Lewis Gale, and now she's at Springtree. She's struggling physically. Phoebe got a scare last week going to the doctor for a physical, but they checked her heart rate. It was in the 160s, and they said, "You're going to the ER." And sure enough, they admitted her. They had to shock her heart back into rhythm, and now it's back to the 80s where it should be. But she's got some more tests and things going on. Let's pray for Phoebe. She's not able to be here. You know, we have some that are suffering daily. I thought of Jim Martin. I thought of Shirley Johnson. I thought of Margaret Alls. And there's others. I'm going to miss somebody. That doesn't even include the family members that are going through trouble. And physically, spiritually, some of our loved ones are lost. And we're so concerned about them. I thought of Rita Ash. Is Rita here today? Okay, I know she's been busy. She's lost both of her parents since the first of the year, and then she's taken custody of her nephew, Alex, and now she's trying to get her parents' estate settled. You're talking about a lot of stuff going on in her life. I just thought about all those folks, and then, of course, I thought about Sharon entering heaven this week on Wednesday morning and how we ministered to Gary. Gary, I'm so glad to see you and his son there on the back row. I went over to visit Gary this week. I think it was Wednesday morning. It was Monday morning. And went there early Monday morning. He had a house full of people. And he had some upstairs sleeping. Amen, Gary? He's got family all over the place. He's got friends. He knows everybody. That house was packed full of people. And I said, "Well, my goodness, what can we do? How can we help?" And his sister-in-law piped up and said, "We need food." Amen. So I said, "All right." And I knew he's feeding an army. And so that's why you got the breeze this week. We panicked and said, "Man, we got to help this guy. He's got to feed all this family." And buddy, the church just kicked in. And then we had a wonderful meal yesterday. And I didn't know how many people were going to stay afterwards. Like I say, this place was packed. How many were here yesterday? How many came and left? Anybody like that? A few of you. Because I'm telling you, we didn't have any parking spaces left. They were parking in the grass. It was packed. And a lot of people did not stay for the memorial service. They just came to see Gary and then had to leave. But man, we had a packed out crowd. And so here we are downstairs with the ladies, and they're all worried, "Are we going to have enough food? How many of these people are going to stay for dinner?" And I said, "Y'all, let's get in a circle. Let's pray." And they started laughing. I said, "I ain't laughing. I'm being serious." And we prayed that the food would last for everybody that came down. And it worked out great. Not everybody stayed, amen? Or we'd had 200 people to feed. But no, we ministered to Gary's family and had a great time, had plenty of food. But I just thought of everybody that made a dish, everybody that's been praying this week for the different things I just talked about. And how this church comes together in time of need. The thing about this church and a good church, when one aches, we all ache. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one hurts, we all hurt. Isn't that the way a church is supposed to be? Isn't that the way a family is? And boy, I saw that this week. We have a community here that is vitally important. It's important for our well-being, and it's important for our spiritual growth. I'm glad you're in church today. God did not design us to live our Christian journey alone. He established the church for a reason. And that's why it's important for us, every one of us, to belong to a community of believers. If you'll notice the title of the message today, Living in Community. The body of Christ, now that consists of all believers all over the world. By the way, one of our missionaries is here, the Palmers. Raise your hand, brother, and sweet wife. And they're our missionaries to the UK. And he's just gone through some back surgery. And he's recovering. He's going to be back with us in November for our missions emphasis day. But it's so good to have the Palmers here. But the body of Christ consists of all believers around the whole world. But the only way the body of Christ can function is to meet together in local communities, like Gospel Light Baptist Church. Let's look at a community of believers in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you're there, say amen. Okay, if you're not, follow along, all right? We've spoiled you, haven't we? Putting the verses on this screen. But if you got your Bible, follow along if you can. And they, the believers, continued steadfastly. What's that mean? Devoted themselves in the apostles' doctrine. What's that? Teaching. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread. That means they shared in meals together, regular meals, but they also shared in the Lord's table like we did last week, the Lord's Supper. All right, and then it says, and in prayer. So there's four aspects right there. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. All right, verse 43, and fear. What is that? A deep sense of awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. They met together and had all things common. What's that mean? Man, they shared everything that they had with one another. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. They would sell stuff and then they shared the money to make sure everyone had what they needed. As every man had need. That's the last part. Verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So not only did they worship at the temple, and they also broke bread, eating together, having the Lord's table, from house to house, did eat their meat. Man, they shared their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. I see a lot of joy, don't you? I see a lot of generosity. And it's amazing how we can get to know one another when we share meals together. Such an intimate time. Look at verse 47. Read this one with me. Ready? Say it with me. Ready? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In other words, those that were being saved were added to the fellowship. That's the way it's supposed to work. Somebody gets saved, they get baptized, they follow the Lord. We talked about that last week. And then they join the church. They're part of the community. Now, in verse 41, it mentions that the church of Jerusalem had just added 3,000 members to their church. Kind of reminds me of yesterday. I thought, man, I wish all these people would come back today. This place was packed out. Imagine if God were to do that. Hey, you say, I'd be happy if he let three join our church or three families. But what about 30 people or 30 families? Do you think God's able to do that? Man, people are searching. We have the answer in Jesus. So I can see that happening. But God radically changed their church overnight. There was no longer saving seats, amen, or sitting in your favorite pew. When you add 3,000 at one time, boy, what a change it made. How did they maintain community? How did they maintain that sweet spirit in their church? verse 42 gives us the answer. We've already read it, of course, but let me point out these. Number one, the truth. Hey, we're going to stick to the truth of God's word. Amen. You got a lot of opinion going around, but if we're preaching the truth, sorry, I made a mess. Amen. How many of y'all ever done that? Open your Bible and it goes everywhere. But we're going to stick to the truth. That just means doctrine, teaching. Stick to the word of God. And we see here that they were a learning church. Every one of us need to be continually learning. And that's what I see at the Church of Jerusalem. This church was eager to learn God's word. I hope that's why you came to church today. To learn something. Don't come in the door and say, boy, I wonder if that preacher's going to give me something that I've never heard before. No, I tell you what you need to do. Lord, what would you have me to do with whatever is given today? Help me to digest whatever comes in and apply it to my life. The truth. All right, number two, the tie. The T-I-E. How many ever heard this chorus? Blessed be the tie that binds. Y'all know this? Our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. How many have heard that song before? We used to sing that every time at the end of communion at my home church growing up. Blessed be the tie. What's that mean? That's fellowship, spending time together. That's the tie that we have together. Let me just read the other verses before, because they're good, and you can follow along. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. That's describing a church right there, y'all. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Boy, I saw some tears this week. When we are called apart, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Isn't that good? This glorious hope revives our courage, by the way, while each in expectation lives and waits to see the day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin, can I hear an amen right there? We shall be free. And perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. That's a good song. I tell you, if we love our fellow believers, it proves that we are truly saved. This was a fellowship in church. This was a learning church. Number three, I see the table. Breaking a bread. They ate regular meals together. And I tell you, when you eat a meal with someone, whether that you get invited over to their house or you invite them to your house or you meet at Applebee's, whatever, that makes it feel like family. There's a connection there. And I want to encourage you to do that more often. Go out to eat with somebody. We ate with a family last Sunday. We had a ball right there in Applebee's. Amen. Laughing, cutting up, having a good time. And I want to encourage you to do that on a regular basis. And I'll go out to eat with you. You just invite. You don't even have to pay. I'll pay for my own. But let's fellowship together. That's what it's all about. But then they shared the Lord's table together. Didn't we have a sweet time last Sunday sharing the Lord's table? So I think they were a learning church. They were a fellowshipping church. They were a commemorating church. Remember, this do in remembrance of me. They practiced the Lord's table. Then number four, the throne. Last part of verse 42 talks about prayers. Aren't you glad we have instant access to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? And we don't have to pray to a priest. We don't have to pray to a preacher. Thank God y'all don't have to pray to me. You can go directly to the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to passionately seek the Lord through prayer. How many believe prayer produces power? Amen. We see a praying church. Hey, that's what resulted in community. They were learning. They were fellowshipping. They were commemorating and practicing the ordinances that Jesus had left for them. And then they were a praying church. You know, they had things in common. It's such a beautiful thing. What a church that was. And they weren't content with just services as usual. The Bible says in verse 46, they met daily. We got various connection groups. We just don't have connection groups on Sunday morning. We got them other times during the week. Ladies Bible study, Young Hearts, Iron Men, Midweek Refresh. I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night. They met daily. Well, imagine if that was our custom. Some of y'all would get tired, wouldn't you? You wouldn't show up every day. It's hard to get you here twice a week. So I know daily would just freak you out. But they love being together. They love doing all those things. They met daily. Wow. Verse 47 says they won souls daily. We need to share our faith with others. Pastor Colton's already mentioned it. Do you know why a lot of these teens have started to come? Because Devin Lindsay, one boy, started inviting his friends from school. Amen? And then those friends started inviting other friends. And now the teen group has exploded with growth, and teens are getting saved, and people all around us, I just want to remind you, they are searching, and we just need to invite. Woo! Invite. We got a way right there. It's so easy. Carolyn talked again this morning. She's had two people come to church as a result of just an invitation. She invited another one this week. That's all it takes, y'all. Just invite. All right? They won souls daily. All right, then I thought about they cared daily. There was a team up here from the care ministry this week. I went in there and spoke to them. They were writing out them cards. They pray together over the needs, over our prayer list. And boy, we helped meet needs. People made meals this week and dishes and brought them. Everything came together. Not only do me and Pastor Colton visit folks, but we've got four men that visit faithfully in our nursing homes, hospitals, and shut-ins. I thank God for Ron and Fred and Ralph and Myron. And they're doing that on a regular basis. They don't do it for glory or fame. They're just trying to serve God and trying to help people and minister to them. Leonard and Laura went up to the hospital to see Jim and Hazel. And so we've got people in. I know there's more than that, but I'm just saying those people do it on a regular basis, and I just say, praise the Lord. Keep it up, because we have to care daily. There are so many needs in our church. One person can't do it alone. We need to care daily, every one of us. All right, then they increased in number daily. God adds to the church as he sees fit in his time and in his way. I'm amazed at people that are coming to our church right now, and they're interested in the things of God. They're searching for a church family. And buddy, we just need to increase in number daily. I'd love to see it. And then they search the scriptures daily. I just went through Acts and pointed out some of those things. They met daily, they won souls daily, they cared daily, increased in number daily, and they searched the scriptures daily. They were in the word themselves. They didn't have to be spoon-fed by the pastor. Their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality. It just was not a once-a-week routine. I'm afraid that we can get into a rut if we're not careful. When you get into a rut, it can lead to apathy. That's a no-care attitude. It can lead to coldness in our life. I believe the risen Lord was a living reality to them, and it changed them. His resurrection power was at work in their lives through the Spirit. So looking at their example, I've got 3 points this morning. How can we continue living in community? How can we be beautiful to a watching world outside the doors of this church? Number one, make everyone feel loved. Do you know everyone needs to feel like somebody? That they are special to God, and that they're also special to us. God wants us to just be joyful and make everyone feel loved and welcome. Greet everyone with a smile. Hey, if somebody comes through our doors, they don't know where they're going, where their class is, whatever. Hey, helpful. Be helpful in giving directions. Don't worry about where they sit. They might have took your seat. That's great. Hallelujah. That's a good problem to have. Let them sit there. You never know what someone's face this week. And a hearty handshake, a smile on your face, and just a warm greeting can do wonders. Because that's exactly what they need. When we show real love to each other and we sacrifice our personal preferences for the sake of unity, boy, I tell you, the world is convicted and the world is attracted. The unsaved folks. Thank God we've got the friendliest church in town. Y'all believe that? Keep it up. Keep it up. And that comes from the Spirit of God to help us. No amount of preaching compares with the impact of Christians loving one another. Loving the lost. I said yesterday that God is love. Man, He wants our church to be known for our love more than anybody else, more than anything else. And we got to love everybody. John 13:35, y'all know this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. That's the selfless love. That's how unity is possible. It takes yielding to the Spirit's power. All right, number two, get fully involved in the church. Come to worship God. Come to praise the name of Jesus. Come to study the Bible. Come to build community with others. Come to encourage somebody. Come as a testimony to this watching world. Someone asked a man, why do you spend your Sundays in that church? He said, I want my neighbors to know which side I am on. That's why you get up early on Sunday and get all prepared and come to church. You want to let this world know which side that you're on. I just want to encourage all of you, attach yourself to a living, local community. We'd love to have you at Gospel Light. Here's what a church family does. I just wrote down some things. It identifies you as a genuine believer. Together we are the body. I love it when people say, I'm a part of Gospel Light Baptist Church. It identifies you as a believer. And you belong to Jesus' church. He died for this church. It's important to Him. All right. Then I thought about this one. It moves you out of isolation. The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits, isolated, not having any fellowship. Love is not learned in isolation. We found that out during COVID, didn't we? That's crazy. We miss being together. And so you have to be around people. You say, preacher, people are irritating. They're imperfect. They're frustrating. Amen. That describes our church. Amen. Hey, we're imperfect people. We get on our nerves sometimes, each other's nerves. But God wants us to be, because the church, all those experiences teach us how to get along. We learn to care for one another. We share experiences with one another. We can encourage one another. Now, I wrote this one down too. Helps you develop spiritual muscle. When you get fully involved in the life of the church, you're going to grow faster, you're going to grow stronger, learning from each other and being accountable to one another. You're going to have some spiritual muscle. Here's another one. This church needs you. Who was it on that poster? Recruiting for the army, is that what it was? I need you, whatever it says. Well, I'm here to tell you, this church needs you. No one Christian has all the gifts necessary, listen, to spread the gospel, make mature disciples, and help the needy. One person can't do it all. God gave us different gifts, and that forces us to depend on one another and work as a unit. Church is the place that God designed for you to discover, develop, and use your spiritual gifts. Last one, it's going to keep you on track. None of us are immune to temptation. Can I hear an amen right there? Our flesh, the world, old Satan, he wants to lead us astray. Man, I would hope if one of my Christian brothers sees me wavering spiritually, that they would seek to help me. And it needs to be that case in every one of our lives. Somebody's got their eyes on you. They want to help you stay on track for God's glory. Two are better than one. Amen? That's in Ecclesiastes. If one falls, his friend can help him up. That's the principle here. I love this. You become a Christian by committing yourself to Jesus. Right? You become a You become a Christian by committing yourself to Jesus. You become a part of the church by committing yourself to a local body of believers. The first decision brings salvation. The second decision brings community. That's what it's all about. All right, got one more. Let's experience life together. Make everybody feel loved. Get fully involved in the church. And let's experience life together. Intimate relationships, not just surface. It's more than just showing up for Sunday service or midweek refresh or a connection group. It's eating together. It's doing things together. It's experiencing life together. Ladies, go out to... No, you're coming here. Come here to the church on Tuesday night. Get some pizza. Enjoy some fellowship. Spend some time with the ladies. Men, let's go bowling on Thursday night. Come on. Meet us over in Vinton. Those times will draw us closer together in fellowship. I tell you, Jesus did it with his disciples. And we need to look for times outside of the church to get together. We share together, talking, relaying information, small talk. But then we go a little bit deeper. Then we study God's word together. Your connection group is very special to you. Can you nod your head? You know why? Because you've got the common bond of the word of God being taught in that class. That's why people love their connection group. And the word of God and the spirit of God does something special in a place like that because you're studying God's word together. Then we're serving together, doing ministry together, cooking, cleaning, setting up, decorating, visiting, building something, tearing something down, writing cards to people, sharing with people, singing together, praying, working in ministry, working in the nursery, junior church, teen kid, teen meeting, vacation Bible school, or beautifying the church and the landscape. Man, we just got to serve together. But then I thought about the most intense level, and that's suffering together. Now it takes some honesty and humility with each other. We take off the mask, take off the facade. We become open about our lives. James 5:16 is practiced on a regular basis. Are you ready for this? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Like I said before, we're imperfect. We're going to make mistakes. But we love each other enough that we're going to confess our faults one to another and be healed. We depend on each other. Man, we do whatever we can to help somebody physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's entering in and sharing the pain that others have. That's called empathy. I understand what you're going through. I feel your pain. It's carrying one another's burdens. Do you know community happens when mistakes aren't rubbed in, but they're rubbed out? You ever had a Charlie horse? Or something like that? And Tanya has to get on my back, ooh, and rub it out. I tell you, that's what community is all about. That's when mercy wins over justice. I'm so glad this church is a place of grace. Aren't you? And many of you have come to Gospel Light and it has been a place of healing for you. You got hurt somewhere else. Maybe in your family or in your church family. You know, we're often reluctant to become involved with other believers because we fear being hurt. Or we fear being hurt again. I tell you what God wants to do this morning. Are you listening? This is my last point. God wants to deal with that fear that you have. When we're wounded, listen, God wants that pain to drive us to Him, drive us to our knees, drive us into His presence, into His loving arms. And you know what? When you're driven to His presence and His loving arms, you're going to find out He is able to heal that hurt when we're able to forgive people through His power. How many believe that? He's able to heal the hurt as we're able to forgive people through His power, by yielding to His power. So here's my last point. We must love selflessly and forgive generously. We're imperfect, sinful people. We're going to hurt each other. In our flesh, sometimes it's going to be intentional. I hate to say it. Other times it's going to be unintentional. Man, I've hurt people, found out months later, something I said, something I did, hurt them. And man, that grieves my heart because I didn't even realize I did it. Let me remind you, bitterness and resentment always destroys unity. Either way, it takes massive amounts of mercy and grace. We cannot live in community without forgiveness. Here's my last verse. Say it with me. Colossians 3:13. Ready? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I love this part. Ready? And above all these things, put on charity. Put on love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God's mercy enables us to show mercy to others. Now here's going to be the result. Are you listening? Once we make everybody feel loved, once we get fully involved in church, once we experience life together, the joy of the Lord adds a whole new dimension of gladness to everything. That church of Jerusalem, man, they had joy praising God, having favor with all the people. They had gladness and singleness of heart. They were unified. They were just a happy people. Boy, that's what I desire. How many believe our church can be a little taste of heaven on earth? Woo! Wouldn't that be nice? Raise your hand if you believe that. Both my hands are up and my foot's up too. One of my feet is up. Amen.